Adagio, ma non troppo. Slowly, but not too much so. And like in the previous sonata, again, the final movement is the most important movement. The proportions are such that the first two movements are counterbalanced by the final movement. And the form and the structure of this last movement is extraordinary. It had given Beethoven a lot of trouble. We can see it in the manuscript, in the sketches. I don't know many Beethoven manuscripts that are so crowded by corrections, and he really was breaking his head on this. And it starts Adagio ma non troppo, again, una corda, with just one string. And we have to get from finishing the scherzo in F major, and which serves as the dominant of B flat minor. But with B flat minor, we are very far away from the tonality of this sonata. So he has to modulate somehow back to the tonic. How does he do this? Already the bass moves from B flat to C flat. Again, the bass from G flat moves from G natural. And already we are in A flat minor. Now comes this arpeggio. Just playing what Beethoven wrote. It's all in one pedal. It's not my craziness. It's his. And remember the Tempest Sonata? Was where he discovered these fantastic sonorities of a recitativo, all swimming in one wash of sound without changing the pedal. This is one of his great inventions. So here, let me go back to Opus 110. In the Ninth Symphony, O Freunde, nicht diese Töne, not these tones. So we are looking for other tones, yes? Stuttering motive. It's on the A natural, he's repeating these notes, and usually in classical music, if you have a tie over a note, then the second time you don't play it. It's mute. But Beethoven writes as separate fingering for the repeated notes. He always writes fourth finger, third finger, fourth finger, third finger. And that indicates that he wanted the second note to be heard, but softer than the first time. This is a technique that we know from the clavier school of Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. And this is what clavichordists do. They call it the Bebung. over this multiple repetition of the A natural, Beethoven changed from una corda to due corde e tre corde. And again, on the Beethoven fortepiano, this was clearly audible. Then there is an increase of sound, and like you are opening a window, closed window and gradually open window, and then close it again. And then end of the recitativo. Klagende Gesang or lamenting song, as we said earlier, a quotation from Bach's St. John Passion. And this is the most moving part of the piece. It's one of the most moving confessions of Beethoven, really. It's something confessional about this music. We know that he had been very ill prior to this sonata, and to me this lament is a depiction of the illness. And es ist vollbracht, it is consummated. At the end of this klagende Gesang, you could say the words es ist vollbracht. Happened. This is really a tragedy, because we heard this wonderful fugue out of the tragedy of the lament, like a phoenix emerging from the ashes, and it is a very clear Bachian fugue, in strict counterpoint with the only liberties taken that sometimes the bass is doubled, like if an organist would play it with his pedal. Yes, that's the only liberty, unlike the closing fugue of the Hammerklavier Sonata, which is a fugue with lots of liberties. And to me, the fugue represents the other, the opposite pole of the illness. If the arioso was the illness, this is the healing process. This is fighting with the illness and trying to defeat it. But as we come to the close of this fugue, it's obvious that he is not well enough to finish it. There is no strength. And he collapses on this dominant seventh chord. It's a tragedy. And what does he do after that? Again, a semitone down, so again, it represents defeat. And comes back to the Klagende Gesang, a semitone lower, and he writes ermattet klagend. Ermattet is something like exhausted, perdente le forze, he writes in Italian, when you have lost your strength. So again, we are back to the world of a suffering, ill man. Mm-hmm. And the melody is not a continuous legato anymore, but it's broken by rests and silences, and it's much more irregular. It is like a person who is in sobs, cannot really speak anymore. Even the Es ist vollbracht, we just hear it in offbeat heartbeats. This should be the last word, but instead of that, the clock strikes 10. Whether it's in his room or a church bell, we do not know. There could be a literary hidden program to this sonata. We can speculate, but There is no knowledge to that. However, these 10 strikes of the clock, they represent the threshold between the illness and the healing. And they are muffled chords, because the piano is again playing una corda. It's not the full keyboard, but it's only one string. And Beethoven gives us the inversion of the fugue. We remember the fugue. Now it's everything turned around, upside down, but in G major. And very, very quiet, very far away, very faint. Three or four times the theme in inversion. And Beethoven writes above this section, the inversion of the fugue, poi a poi da nuovo vivente, gradually coming back to life. And this is really the section that gave him the most trouble. How does he come back from G major into A flat major, and also how does he close the circle? So after the four themes, we hear the diminution of the main theme in the bass. But three times faster than the original version. And imitated in the soprano. Simultaneously, we hear also an augmentation of the theme, which will be twice slower than the original version. Let me just play everything together, if I can. Now, the bass takes over the augmentation, and the upper voices have the diminution. At this point, Beethoven already poi a poi da nuovo vivente, coming back to life, takes away the una corda and gradually uses two strings and then all the three strings. And here is a very tricky part of the movement, because Beethoven writes smaller note values, but at the same time he asks etwas langsamer, so a little bit slower. Unfortunately, a lot of pianists misunderstand this, and they see the small note values and start to play much faster than before, which makes absolutely no sense at all. There had been a very interesting debate on this subject between Alfred Brendel and Charles Rosen on the pages of the New York Review of Books, which I'm afraid that Charles Rosen won with a knockout. Because exactly, let me just play the whole section. I mean, when it starts, This is a further diminution, but Beethoven actually leaves out one step of the theme, which was... But he only uses... It's a shortened version of it. And then he starts to write accelerando, a little bit faster, faster, faster. And at the end of that section, the bass comes in with the original theme in the original tempo. And that has to be reached gradually. It cannot be that one made an accelerando and went over the limit and then has to put the brakes on again. So let me just play the whole inversion. I'm sorry, this is very complicated. Is the final return. So I think you could feel there is a gradual progression of this coming back to life. And here Beethoven throws away all the rules of counterpoint and fugue, and we have a triumphant chorale with semi-quaver counterpoint. Again, we can think forward to the Missa solemnis dona nobis pacem. Also a music in 6/8 time. So one of the three sonatas that ends triumphantly, fortissimo. And it's a wonderful description, I think a poetic description of this struggling man really in the end triumphing over death and over the illness. He had been very near to death here when the Klagen der Gesang came back. The second time, I think it's as close as you can come to death.